Good evening, good evening, good evening. Come on in, friends, come on in and tell me what's new and good with you on this fabulous Friday evening. My name is Krishanda Torres and this is Cheers to Your Health. Fun fact, did you know that approximately 2/3 of all drugs are derived from plants? Yes, plants. The other major ingredient for optimal health is called phytonutrients. Phytonutrients are also called phytochemicals, are the chemicals produced by plants. Which brings us into our continued conversation tonight on pillar number 6 of the 7 pillars of health, supplementation, and the rainbows of health and the role phytonutrients play in that. Speaking of which, I'm sipping on a cup of tea, of peppermint tea, which is made by what? Plants, the phytonutrients in the plants. So, what are phytonutrients? Before we get into the specifics and the science, let's just do a really brief overview. So phytonutrients are biologically active substances that give fruits and vegetables their colors, their flavor, their smell, and their natural disease resistance. Phytonutrients can have major health benefits for your body. Perhaps the most important part is that they play a role in preventing cancer and heart disease. At the present time, there are 2,000 known phytonutrients, but some researchers speculate and estimate that one day the over 40,000 phytonutrients that exist will be cataloged and better understood. These compounds protect plants from pests, excessive amounts of ultraviolet radiation, and disease. And each plant has thousands of different phytonutrients that provide protection from free radicals because they contain natural antioxidants. So now that I've given you the background on phytonutrients, let's talk about the benefits in people, in humans. Phytonutrient consumption is associated with reduced rates of many different cancers, protection against heart disease, protection against the aging, and the most important, slowing the progression of dementia and age-related cognitive decline. Phytonutrients increase longevity and are associated with reduced rates of chronic disease and protect us against things that you wouldn't think they'd protect us against, like cataracts and macular degeneration. I'm talking about the eyes, y'all, the eyes. Now, regular consumption of phytonutrients is the best, I say again, is the best, I'll say it one more time, the best natural health insurance policy that I can recommend to you to protect yourself from all degenerative diseases, including cancer and heart disease. Yes, I pause for emphasis so you could let that hit you in your spirit, that phytonutrients are the best natural health insurance policy. Natural health insurance. Did you know that there is actually a rainbow of health? Like fruits and vegetables can be grouped according to color, and that each group has its own set of phytonutrients to provide unique protective benefits. So I'm about to become a bit of what I like to call scholarly, what you may affectionately call nerdy here for a moment. So bear with me as we're about to get this lesson on phytonutrients. Okay? So typically, phytonutrients are classified by their chemical structure. This is an extensive classification system, which sometimes can be quite confusing, but we're just going to focus on the main classifications, okay? So the main classifications include about 5 of them. So we'll start with organosulfurs. Organosulfurs, such as the cruciferous vegetables and the sulfur compound in garlic. Terpenoids, such as limonene in citrus, as well as carotenoids, tocopherols, and tocotrienols. flavonoids, including certain red and purple pigmented fruits and vegetables, isoflavonoids and lignans, which are found in soy foods and flax seeds, and organic acids, which are found in whole grains, parsley, licorice, and citrus fruits. Now, that was the scholarly part. Now we're back to just the regular conversation. So since there are so many different phytonutrients, and they are also classified in families, and the family they're classified in depends on the similarities in their structure, I just find it easier and much simpler to classify them by color. So for the purposes of our conversation, we'll talk about them by color to make it easy. Now, we just went through the classifications for this point, for you to understand that our dietary goal should be to include as many colors as possible in our meals. I want you to think of phytonutrients as your rainbow of health, as God's promise to keep you healthy, okay? So let's walk through this rainbow, shall we? Beginning with red. Tomatoes, watermelon, guava, and red grapefruit contain a powerful carotenoid called lycopene. You may have heard this word before. Lycopene is linked to prevention of heart disease and prostate cancer. And here's a fun fact. Did you know that tomatoes are actually a fruit and not a vegetable? Yes, really they are. Botanically speaking, tomatoes are a fruit because they have a seed. Common sense says that you don't eat them as a fruit. And then, of course, the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court in 1893, settled the matter by actually declaring them a vegetable, and that they were generally to be served with dinner in the case of Nix versus Head. You can look it up for yourself. The next category of colors we have is red and purple, which includes foods like blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, grapes, eggplants, red cabbage, and red wine. This group contains a powerful flavonoid called anthocyanin. Anthocyanin protects us from free radicals, and it protects us from free radical damage in water-soluble and fat-soluble compartments of the body. In addition to that, resveratrol, which you've probably heard that word before, is found in grape seed and grape skin and helps prevent the progression of cancer and raises the HDL, or what we know as good cholesterol. Resveratrol is also found in wine. So that's why a lot of people like wine, because there's health benefits to drinking wine because of resveratrol. The next color is orange, which includes our carrots, mangoes, cantaloupes, pumpkin seeds, sweet potatoes, yams, squash, and apricots. All of these have high amounts of carotenoids. And if you remember from the classification that we just discussed originally, that's where they come from. Now, these powerful carotenoids help prevent cancer and heart disease and quench free radicals. I want you to see a theme here emulating with what I'm telling you about this rainbow of health and why it really is a rainbow of health. Our next color is orange and yellow, which includes oranges, tangerines, lemons, limes, yellow grapefruit, papaya, pineapple, and nectarines, right? This color is rich in vitamin and citrus bioflavonoids. This color group protects us from free radical damage since they are powerful antioxidants, and they've been used both to prevent and treat bruising, hemorrhoids, and varicose and spider veins, along with maintaining collagen, which, if you remember our talk the other day, collagen helps you form that elasticity and keeps your skin supple, and we stop making it about when we turn 25. So that's why it's important to eat the rainbow of health and get the fruits and vegetables that have collagen in it to help you form your tendons, your cartilage, and your ligaments. So next we have yellow and green, which is our spinach, kale, collard and mustard greens, turnip greens, leeks and peas, and even romaine lettuce when it's not the subject of an E. coli outbreak as it is currently. All of these colors and all of these foods in this color group are typically rich in lutein. Lutein is a word you've probably heard before. It's the main carotenoid present in the central portion of the retina of the eye, called the macula. Lutein is able to reduce the risk of macular degeneration, which is the leading cause of blindness in older adults. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but you could check it out for yourself. You can go to YouTube and Google Eric Adams. Eric Adams is the Brooklyn Borough President who was told by his doctor as a result of his diabetes, because he believed that that was just what you do. You just get older and you inherit a chronic disease. That's just what you do and you just accept it. So he was told by his doctor that as a result of his diabetes, he had nerve damage in his eyes and that he was going blind and he needed to surrender his driver's license. And he started doing research online with words reversing diabetes. And 3 weeks after he saw his doctor and got that devastating news, he had begun during that 3 week time to embrace and implement a whole food plant-based diet. And so for that time period, he embraced whole food plant-based. And when he went back to his doctor said he had actually reversed his diabetes. And if you listen to his talk on YouTube, he'll tell you that he'll be the first to say his chronic condition was never in his DNA. It was never his DNA. It was his dinner or the food that he ate on the plate. That's why it's so important to be familiar with yourself. That's why it's important not to believe in and subscribe to what they say. And it's so interesting when people tell me, well, they say it runs in my family and they say, I'm always like, who is this they that they're talking about? Because this people named they been messing us up for generations with drama, but nobody knows who they are. So my response when people tell me, well, they said that it runs in the family, especially when it comes to health related things, I tell them, well, you tell them here is where it runs out. And basically that's what Eric Adams said. He said they told him diabetes ran in his family. He accepted it. He believed it until he got to a point where it was going to cost him his sight. And then he made the lifestyle change necessary, not only for himself, but for his mother as well. His 80-year-old mother, he got her on a whole food plant-based diet and reversed her condition as well. So genetics loads the gun. Yes, that's correct. It could be in your family. It could run in your family, but lifestyle, your dinner is what pulls the trigger. The next category we have is green. Green contains broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, watercress, bok choy, kale, collard, and mustard greens. These are all considered that word that everybody stumbles over, cruciferous vegetables. Now, more than that, these vegetables contain more phytonutrients with anti-cancer properties than any other family of vegetables. Hear me, friends, when I say that. This group, the green color that has broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, etc., contains more phytonutrients that have anti-cancer properties than any other family of vegetables. The word cruciferous comes from the same root word as crucifying, which means to place one on a cross. These vegetables help you place those cancer cells that grow in everybody's body on a cross, right? Studies have actually correlated a high intake of cruciferous vegetables, especially cabbage, with a lower rate of cancers, especially cancers of the breast, prostate, and colon. Fun fact, broccoli not only has some of the highest concentration of protective phytonutrients, but it has more protein than a steak. Don't worry, I'll wait for you to pick up what I just put down. Moving into our next color group, we have white and green. Onions and garlic is in this category, and they contain powerful phytonutrients. Onions contain the most powerful flavonoid called quercetin. Quercetin has anti-inflammatory properties and is often recommended to treat allergies and asthma. And garlic itself has significant antimicrobial activity against bacteria, viruses, fungus, and even parasites. And it has even been known to help lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and help prevent blood clots. Again, are you beginning to see a theme developing with the rainbow of health and why it's called the rainbow of health? Next up in the rainbow is green tea. Green tea contains a powerful polyphenol called EGCG. It's an antioxidant. It's an antioxidant green tea, which is 200 times more powerful than vitamin E and 500 times more powerful than vitamin C. A tea. Now you know why I'm a tea snob. Now you know why I'm always sipping on a different kind of tea when we get on these talks at night. Green tea activates your detoxification enzymes in the liver, which again helps your body defend against cancer. If you study any other cultures around the world, the Japanese actually consume this regularly and not only have a lower incidence of cancer because of it, but Japan is also one of five of the blue zone locations around the world. And if you're not familiar with blue zones, refer back to my earlier podcast where we talked about blue zones and why it's important that we establish it. Because right now in the United States, the only place we have a blue zone, which means where people are living longer, healthier lives, and have less chronic conditions, is Loma Linda, California. The normal amount of green tea that one should consume in a day is about 3 cups, but make sure you're using dioxin-free tea bags when you consume. Finally, in the rainbow, rounding up the end of our rainbow, is curcumin. Now, curcumin is something you should be familiar with because it's what gives turmeric its bright yellow color. Curcumin is a herb of the ginger family, and as I'm sure you're familiar with, because it's in turmeric, it has significant anti-inflammatory properties, especially with acute inflammation resulting from things such as sprains, muscle strains, and inflamed joints. Curcumin may also help in the prevention of Alzheimer's and lower cholesterol and prevent blood clots. Now, friends, I've just given you the rainbow of health. I want you to think about what you're eating and how many times you've eaten something from the rainbow of health, if at all, and if you're not eating anything from the rainbow of health, how you think you can do that differently moving forward. And we'll continue this in a moment when we're right back after a word from our sponsors. And we're back, friends. So why did I walk you through the rainbow of health and give you the explanation of phytonutrients? Showing how nerdy and scholar or scholarly, depending on which word you use, I really am. It's very simple. To encourage you to taste the rainbow on your plate moving forward. Now, I don't expect you to remember the detailed description I gave you here. So I want you to think in these terms when you're moving forward with your food. First, eat real food, right? Second, remember this. The more white on your plate, rice, pasta, bread, etc., the more inflammation in your body you create, right? But you are keeping your entire system good to go when your plate is overflowing and contains the rainbow. So if you can remember that little jingle, the more white on your plate, the more inflammation you create, but you are keeping your entire system good to go when your plate contains the rainbow. That should help you remember. If you can't remember the words of the different categories, you remember the colors and beginning to associate them with the fruits and vegetables. So as I close, here is the call to action for you tonight. Each day moving forward from today, plan to eat a salad that contains all the colors of the phytonutrient rainbow. And then try to begin to decrease the amount of white that's on your plate and see what a difference that makes in your overall health. If this podcast added value or resonated with you tonight, I encourage you to share it. I invite you to share it. And then I invite you to join me back here tomorrow as we unpack vitamin confusion. I also invite you to connect with me by doing one of the following. Follow me on Facebook at Krishanda Torres, or follow me on LinkedIn at Krishanda Torres, or Instagram as the THEE Health and Happiness Coach. Join my Facebook group, the Health and Happiness Tribe, or email me at info@krishandatorres.com to sign up for my monthly newsletter, Cheers to Your Health, or just to send me any questions you may have. Finally, you can connect with me by visiting my website at www.krishandatorres.com. Until next time, friends, good night, get some rest, and cheers to your health.